Behind the Badge, Illinois, giving you the inside scoop on public safety and those who protect and serve. Hear real stories directly from law enforcement experts and get a chance to ask questions about issues you've always wanted to know more about. You have the right to remain informed. This is Behind the Badge, Illinois.
Welcome to another edition of Behind the Badge, Illinois. We've got an amazing panel of experts here down in O'Fallon. It's Chief Brueggemann. We've got up in DeKalb, Chief Byrd, in beautiful Elgin, Illinois, sixth largest town in the great state of Illinois. We have a returning guest, Chief Lally, and AJ from the ILA-CP. Don't say ILA-PC because you will look like a jerk in front of a room of the executive board members like I did a couple of years ago. It's the ILA-CP. Yeah, I know. I admit my fault. So on today's podcast, and thank you to everybody for downloading and listening and downloading and viewing our previous podcast. We do appreciate the support. We are getting a ton of great feedback. So do not hesitate to leave comments. Do not hesitate to contact any of the panel. If you want us to talk about something, you want us to cover something, you've got questions, by all means, we're all accessible. Shoot us an email, and we will be here to answer your emails quickly and efficiently and talk about your topic on future podcasts. On this podcast, we're going to be talking about public safety, see something, say something, and things that the public shouldn't do, even though you're sitting there watching your 1 and 2 minute videos while you're going to the bathroom on your Instagram and on your TikTok, and how the public is getting involved in law enforcement. Probably not the smartest thing in the world to do, especially in most situations that are dangerous. So we're going to go around the horn here. First and foremost, this show is sponsored by me, Team Hochberg. If you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance your existing home, please give me a call. We have law enforcement specials. We waive all the origination fees for all of our first responders, veterans, and law enforcement, fire, and police. And if you're interested in sponsoring this, please give me a call, 855-56-DAVID. So let's go around the horn. We'll go to our senior alumni here of the podcast, because Lou's not around. We'll start with you, Chief Byrd, up in DeKalb. You want to kind of set the stage here?
Sure.
For what we're going to cover. I know we kind of briefly talked about it prior to going live here, but you want to set the stage, and then we'll go around to Chief Lally and Chief Brueggemann.
Sure will, Dave. Thank you. So this is a very important topic today we're talking about. We're talking about how citizens can assist law enforcement in promoting public safety. I mean, that's truly what this conversation is about, Dave. One of the big things that I've always felt this way, and like I said, I have a monthly radio show I do in DeKalb, and this is what I talk about. We all, and when I say we, I mean we all, everyone, at least in the city of DeKalb, and I'm sure the other chiefs will echo the same sentiments, that we all are responsible for public safety. So not just law enforcement. Like I said, citizens, everyday citizens are responsible for their own public safety, and it's the truth. I mean, we can't be everywhere. So we depend on our good citizens to be an extension of law enforcement. So, they actually give us eyes where we don't have eyes. So that's why, and I always tell them that. Although now we have technology, we have license plate readers, safety cameras. I mean, those are game changers, no doubt about it. But prior to that, we depended on citizens to be the LPRs and the safety cameras. We depended on their eyes to give us a lot of information that we just did not see, or we weren't in the area to view, in plain view as law enforcement. So we depend on them. I tell them on every show, if you see something that's suspicious in nature, call. Even the most smallest thing that you might think, it just, sometimes, Dave, it's just the hair on the back of your neck that sticks up. You don't know why. You really don't. You just like, it just didn't feel right, or something just didn't sound right. Call and let law enforcement vet the situation. Doesn't cost you anything. It's our job to respond to these calls, no matter how small you might think the situation may be. There's so many times that, and like I said, the chiefs will speak on this as well, how a small situation or a small call came in with very little information developed into something huge. and something extremely important. And that's why we depend on our citizens to, you know, help us promote public safety. I mean, it's your own public safety. So I know we do here in DeKalb, we do more of a secure and safe check at the end of the night. Most departments do that. I mean, basically, you just don't want to become a victim of basically opportunity for a criminal because, you know, check your doors at night, you know, check your windows, make sure they're locked. Check your car doors, make sure they're locked. Make sure you don't have expensive items sitting in the open space of a car. Last night, I talked to my brother, who is a commander at CPD. Someone broke in his squad in front of his house. The guy climbed through a broken window and took some items out of his squad car. So, and that's in my old hometown, Chicago. So, so it happens to everybody, Dave. It's not just civilians. Even law enforcement get hit by this situation. Nothing he could have done about that. They broke the window. I mean, what can you do? You know, so luckily, I don't, you know, I'm sure they anticipated grabbing some firearms or something. But of course, we don't keep our firearms accessible like that in our vehicles. So that didn't work out for him. But, you know, he's able to steal some items. So like I said, it's not just law enforcement. Civilians have to kind of check and make sure that they're safe every night before they call at night and get into bed. So that's kind of the framework of this, Dave. Public safety, how we all have to promote it. We're all responsible for it. Every living soul in each city and, you know, in this state, throughout the country. It's everybody.
Gotcha. I'll throw it over to you, Chief Lally. It's kind of like what Chief Byrd was saying. The public's kind of like deputies, right? We all and our shield is our cell phone because everybody's got a cell phone. So I think to just sum up what Dave was saying, and if you could add to it, if you see something while you're out at Cobbler Square, you know, Cobbler Crossing Shopping Center in Elgin out by you, right? And you see a car roaming around that doesn't feel right, right? You see some people that just don't look, you know, maybe a little squirrely in one way, shape, or form. You just hit 911. Is that a good recommendation? I mean, you know, so and what other things can our listeners and viewers do and that you implement in Elgin?
Yeah. So first, thank you guys for having me back on the show. I really enjoy it. I think it's a great opportunity to push information out to our communities. And what a great way to show people what our profession is about. So, you know, like Chief Byrd was saying, I think it first starts with, if you want your community to be involved, you have to inform them, educate them, and give them access to information. So I think it starts there. So, you know, you can't have or expect your community to be involved when you don't let them know what's going on. And, you know, I'll give you an example of this. You know, when I became the chief, we started pushing out all our shots fired incidents in Elgin on our social media and the good and bad. Right. So on one hand, it's, you know, oh, my God, look what's happening. Look what's happening. And on the other side, people were saying, you know, it's about time. Like, we know it's happening and it's been happening. So, you know, you there's never a win with that. But, you know, my philosophy is if you want to be engaged with the community and true engagement, not this superficial, we're going to host a coffee with the cop and we're going to have police officers standing on one side and the community standing on the other. That's a standoff. That's not community engagement. That is not. So community engagement is the good, the bad, being able to have conversations and informing people. This is what's going on. So some of the things we do in Elgin, we have a transparency hub. You can go on there. You can see all the calls for service, minus excluding some sensitive things. You can look at all our crime stats that we release monthly. You can see our shots fired. But it's not only what's happening. It's the follow-up. This case has been closed with an arrest. This has been it's being investigated. Here's the report number. If you want in for more information, you can file a FOIA. So our transparency hub has everything on there, from our use of force stats to our how many civilian complaints we get, and also the good things that we do, right? Our great programs, community engagement, the great things that the men and women of the police department do. Second to that is allowing opportunities for the community. So one, it's for them to be able to access information themselves, whether that's through our transparency hub. We also have an app. You can download our Elgin PD app and all this information is on there. You can file a complaint on there. You can file an anonymous tip. You know, you think somebody's maybe involved in drug sales, because a lot of community members don't want their name associated with it, but they'll give you the information. So you have to facilitate those opportunities for information.
I got a question for you. So on that tip line, yes, kind of like what we were talking with Chief Byrd, is that monitored in real time?
Yes.
So if you see something going down and it's your best friend or your neighbor, and like, hey, some John Smith is Tom Smith or Sally is breaking into my home, is breaking into my neighbor's home, and you see them and you know what's happening, is it like that and a squad's called right away?
Yes.
Wow.
So that information will come through whether it's by an email or via through our communications, our dispatch center. And then depending on the priority, if it's something that's actively happening, they'll dispatch an officer. If it's some further information or something that we can investigate. So you have to give your community opportunities for that type of conversation. But you also have to let people know that you have this. And part of that is we do citizen police academies, which I'm sure every agency does. We do a Spanish one. We do a senior one. We do a teen one. And then we do our regular one. And when people graduate the Citizen Police Academy, because they're with us for 8 weeks and they're learning about everything. What if I see this? What should I do? How do I do this? What opportunities are at the police department for me to get involved? We have an alumni association that then people can stay connected. We have neighborhood watch groups all through the city of Elgin. I have a community advisory board with over 30 community members throughout the city. We meet monthly. I have a chief's advisory group. So all these connections. And then on top of that, all our community engagement that we do. And I always tell people, because we get asked, you know, why do you do so much community engagement? What's the purpose? And so community engagement, the core of it, which has been the core of the department since, you know, I've been here 28 years, it's to develop and engage with our community in a very honest and truthful and very real relationship. Not when something great is happening and everyone loves the police and there's no problems, but do you go out into the community when something bad is happening or when the sentiment of law enforcement is not as great as what it should be? So that relationship that we build over time, the events are just the nexus to the relationship building. And then when you have the relationship, people feel safe to call the police, will come forward and give information because they're established relationships, but also are informed. We know that the Elgin Police Department has a transparency page. Go on there. You want to know what's going on in your neighborhood. Find out what's happening. They can call officers that they know. So all these things together, I think it's, it's the core of it is a relationship. And I think that that's where you get people who, you know, what should I do if I see a suspicious vehicle, right? And hey, you know, be safe. Make sure you don't put yourself in harm's way, but call us and let us know what's going on. And some people, you know, they won't call the police. And this is the other part. You know, if you don't have an engaged community, people will not call. And so there are crimes that occur. You, as an agency, you want the best information and data in terms of what your crime stats are. You know, there is a portion of crime that goes unreported. And, you know, so anyone's crime stats are as accurate as what the reporting mechanisms are in place. And that's who's reporting the crimes. And so you have to make sure that, you know, if you have a community that they're afraid to call the police and won't report crimes, on the flip side, you can't say, well, we don't have that crime in our community. You may have that crime. People are just not comfortable calling the police because they either don't trust or don't think that the department is going to take it seriously. So, social media is social media is good and bad. I think there has to be a balance. Like Chief Byrd, I do a radio show weekly. And one of the things I was talking about last week on my radio show was a traffic crash that occurred. And a lot of times when people see something like that, we'll put information out if the road is going to be closed for a significant amount of time, right? Because we have a lot of traffic crashes that occur. So, you know, we're not on social media always saying there's a traffic crash, but you can go to our transparency hub and see, yeah, this is what that call was. But in an instance where it's a fatal traffic crash or there's severe injuries, and I always caution people, you know, a person that may be driving by to take a picture of that car and then put that information out because they want people to know. The problem with that is, what if that's your loved one? What if that's your family member? And the way that you now find out that somebody's in this tragic, horrific accident is through social media. So I always tell people, you know, let us put out the information, because there's a process of you have to notify the family. You have to be sensitive to that. There's now people who are impacted for the rest of their lives. You know, as the motorist driving by, you might say, wow, that's really awful. But as the family member, the loved one, you know, the police officer who has to now look at this tragic event, and this is something that they carry, everyone carries this with them. So being sensitive what's on social media, not everything you see on social media is true. I know that's a revelation in itself. But I think that you have to be really careful about what you put on social media and how you do it. Because also as law enforcement agencies, what we put out has to be accurate because we can't take it back. So there is a process of, hey, you know, we're at the point now where we couldn't put something out to the community. And I've said that, I've talked about that many, many times and every opportunity so that the community understands, hey, this is when we'll put something out. You know, if there's an active shooter event, it's going out immediately, right? Because it's an immediate concern that needs to be addressed. But if it's something that we can wait a little bit, be sensitive to our victims, to the families, you know, respect the investigative process, but eventually the community will say, hey, we're at a point where this is what's going on. So, you know, all this comes full circle. And I think the core of it is just really engaging with community members in a meaningful, respectful, and very, you know, a true relationship. You know, I always say that the relationships where people, you know, say, we love the police, we love the police, we love the police. Those are great. It's absolutely great. People who say, we hate the police, we hate the police. That's not really, you know, that's not an enjoyable conversation. The middle, the people that, you know, that can hold you accountable, but also say you guys are doing a really good job. That's the relationships that I truly appreciate. And I think that's where, you know, because that's where the magic happens. That's where things actually get done. That's where people start to trust. That's where things that people maybe want to change, change. Or it's an opportunity for us to show what our profession truly is. You know, people that are dedicated and committed, and, you know, selfish in their actions, you know, it's about the community. It's about making it better. So, I think that would be kind of my thoughts on that.
Got it. Well, thank you for that. I think she just called you out. I think Chief Lally called out Chief Byrd, one up them. I think three up them that she's got a weekly radio show instead of a monthly radio show.
I don't even have a radio show.
One, Kirk.
I caught some shade there, Chief Byrd. Yeah.
Oh no, not at all.
Don't start no fights on here.
I do a week monthly, and then she comes in. She draw. I got a weekly, and we got Kirk down there. Chief Bergamot doesn't even have a radio in his car. So
no,
I mean,
he's got a podcast.
If you ever have me go after Chief Lally again, I'm off. I'm done. I'm on the podcast. I've been on panels with Chief Lally, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, she's so smart.
Yeah, well, she didn't even invite any of us on a radio show yet.
You guys can come on. If you want to come on my radio show, it's an open invite. You can come on.
I'm glad we had to invite ourselves, but that's a whole other story. So, okay, Chief Bergman, we're going to go down to O'Fallon. If something's going down at Lincoln Crossing at West Highway 50 down there by you, and some people are out shopping, having a coffee, doing whatever at Lincoln Crossing, you know, similar question to you that I posed to Chief Lally. What type of training are you giving the public? Because, you know, down south, think differently, right? You get a lot of shot, you know, it's down south, right? So kind of take things into your own hands down there. And do you encourage that? You know, if somebody's concealed carry, do you encourage them, disencourage them? How are you handling those type of situations down in O'Fallon?
You know, it's much the same as what's going on with Chief Lally and Chief Byrd is get on your phone and make a phone call. The one thing that I think drives us a little bit batty and crazy as law enforcement is when they don't let us know about it, but then they go to social media with it. And then we're finding out about it a day later, and there's 300 comments on it about what may or may have not transpired. And we didn't even know about it, or we're never notified of it. So, you know, our big thing is to try to talk to us and let us know about it. And like Chief Lally said, is just that trust and that transparency. And it comes back to just understanding what law enforcement is. And I think Lou would have probably talked about it, the 10 shared principles. And number eight is that we believe that law enforcement and community leaders have a mutual responsibility to encourage citizens, to encourage all citizens to gain a better understanding and knowledge of law and assist them in their interactions with the law enforcement officers. So a lot of what we have is a misunderstanding of what we can, what we can't do, what we should be doing, what we should not be doing, because the information's coming on social media, and it's not always accurate. For us, it's a challenge of just trying to get that information out and let people know, hey, this is kind of what's going on. We're not as fortunate, with a smaller department, we're not as fortunate to have somebody monitoring tip lines and social media in real time. So we're getting that information later. And then kind of getting back to your thing with the concealed carry, we don't find that we're having as much of an issue with that. I think our concealed carry, especially down here in the southern part of the state, are very good. The law-abiding citizens that are carrying weapons are not brandishing them and are not using them. We're still finding that the people who do not have concealed carries are the ones that are maybe brandishing those weapons and getting in those road rage incidents with those things. We're pretty similar to everyone else. It's just trying to let us know and kind of let us do our job. Be a good witness. I remember back just a couple weeks ago, I was in a traffic crash. I was like the worst witness in the world. Somebody hit me and then took off running from me. I wasn't in my squad car. And then I'm getting on the phone calling dispatch. And I'm like, hey, I'm chasing after this guy, but I have no idea where he's at. And I couldn't tell you the name of the, I couldn't tell you what kind of car he was driving, what the license plate was or anything like that. I mean, I regressed to terrible. I was a terrible witness. And I'm the chief of police. Fortunately, before he left, I snapped a photo of his car and his license plate. But then here I am driving my personal car, trying to find him, and I'm just all flustered. And I can see where people would get flustered in certain situations because you're not used to being a victim of crime. You're not used to seeing these things. We always just say, take a deep breath, take a look, try to remember what you can remember and give us a call. Because it is, it's a really exciting situation when you're involved in something or you're seeing something going down. So,
yeah.
Use your phone to a certain extent. Use your phone if you can, take a picture, do whatever. But we don't want people getting in these things, these I gotcha moments where they're taking their phones up to people. And, then you're getting in an argument in a parking lot over somebody doing something and you're video recording somebody. Those things always turn out.
Always turn bad. Yep.
They always turn out poorly. So.
All right, let's throw it over to AJ. AJ, what's the ILACP doing to help support chiefs throughout the state get this message out to the community? So somebody doesn't do anything improper, like pull a gun and try to become John or Joan, police officer with no training, and gets injured in the process.
Well, some of the things that we're trying to do is actually just focusing right now on PIOs. That's one of the avenues that we're taking. We have a PIO section where we're trying to help all of the public information officers for the different departments around the state so that they know kind of the proper ways to post things on social media. And if they have any questions, they could ask other PIOs, hey, what are you seeing in your area? What do you recommend doing? What should we share? Should we share all this information or which avenue we should take? That's become extremely helpful. We have a whole message board. So if you're a PIO out there listening, if you haven't joined us yet and been a part of our section, please come out and join us. We have a link up on our website, ilchiefs.org. So we really try to do that and get in touch with the PIOs. For example, one of the stories I wanted to share, I just talked to our vice chair about a different incident that happened, I think, last week in Rockford, where they put up some information on social media at like 1:30 in the morning about a kid who had some mental challenges who went missing. And by 6 a.m., they had gotten another alert, hey, we found the kid. And the way they did that was somebody pulled into a gas station. They saw some kid randomly with a basketball at 6 a.m. And they're like, well, this doesn't look quite right. And so they went to that police department's Facebook page. They saw that the kid was missing. This is what he was wearing, et cetera, et cetera. And they were able to match that with the kid who was walking by. And that's how they were able to discover the kid finally after being missing for that long. And it was just, thank goodness for that post on social media. She woke up in the middle of the night just to post that because it was such an emergency and they wanted to make sure that they found this kid. And I mean, social media is also, I think we talked about it earlier, there's some good and there's some bad with it. But that's kind of the good part of it and some good things that people can do on social media. You know, pay attention to your police department's Facebook page. They're going to get that information out to you if it's important, and share that information through their social media, but also don't forget to pick up the phone. Another way that the chiefs are kind of helping is when I see something out there that a police department's doing that is really great, what they're doing to connect with the community or get information out to the community, I try to share those posts and try to encourage other departments, hey, look at what this department's doing. They are really leading by example. This is a really great opportunity that you have. Chief Lally, I'd love to do another interview with you about your transparency hub and get that information out to even more departments across the state if they don't already have a transparency hub. I think that's a wonderful thing that Elgin is doing. And back to what Chief Byrd said originally, the speak up, you know, police officers can't be everywhere. And so the public really is the eyes and ears out there. So we do what we can to encourage these things. We do what we can to help the departments, the PIOs, since they are the big connectors to the community, so to speak.
I'll throw it back to you, Dave. Do you have a PIO? How long, if it's yes, how long have you had the PIO? And then I'll go around to Chief Lally and Chief Bergman. And what type of requirements, what's the job profile look like when you're posting something like that?
Yeah, for us, we don't have a dedicated public information officer. I mean, some of the small departments probably wouldn't have that, Dave, to be honest with you. We have... Like my administrative assistant, she wears that hat. So she wears multiple hats. So we don't have a dedicated one. When, of course, when I was a colonel with the state police, we have a PIO division. So it's all about size, bandwidth. I mean, you know, it just depends on the size of your department and if you can support it. So ISP had a very robust division. I mean, believe me, I did a lot of media press releases, media events, throughout my career with ISP. And believe me, they would come in as a team, three or four of them. We would sit down and they would say, Colonel, here's, what's the message you want to get out? We would sit down and they would help me, provide a conscious, message to the citizens of Illinois. And sometimes, these were media releases with the governor. So you have, extremely impactful people speaking about some very serious incidents. We went through COVID. We did several media events going through COVID. Myself and Governor Pritzker at the time, Director Kelly was involved in a lot of these back and forth. So the PIOs, I mean, they ran that whole situation and they did a great job. So to be honest with you, the small departments probably won't have it. They have other people who wear multiple hats. I do a lot of our own press releases here myself in conjunction with my administrative assistant. So that's how we do it here in DeKalb, just because right now we don't feel the need to support one individual to handle it.
All right, because Chief Bergman requested not to follow Chief Lally, I will go to Chief Bergman and then throw it over to Chief Lally to respect
real
Chief
quick,
Bergman.
If I could just, I'm so
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, JJ.
I just wanted to, real quick, before I have to hop off, I just realized I had another meeting to go to. But there are so many departments like Chief Byrd's that don't have dedicated PIOs. And that's one of the really big benefits also of the PIO section, where we get those people who are just kind of thrown into it or like that's not their specialty. So they can talk to those who do specialize and PIOs and get that advice going on. So again, if anybody has someone who's acting in the PIO capacity, they would probably qualify for this section. They would just need a letter of recommendation from their chief. So
all right, well, thanks for that.
Thanks, AJ.
Thanks, yeah. AJ. Chief Bergman?
Now I have to follow AJ. So, we don't. I'd say when you come down further than Springfield, every department, Springfield's probably going to be the biggest department in the central part of the state. And then as you come down south, we're one of the bigger ones at 50 officers. And then, Belleville's next to us was 60 or 75. But nobody around us has a dedicated PIO. It's whoever happens to be available to get in front of the camera at any given time. So I might be the PIO one day. I have a lieutenant as a PIO another day, a captain, even down to a sergeant or even a patrol officer, depending on what the situation is. So, you know, it's a little bit of a trial by fire, and it's nice to know that the ILACP has that resource available to us to help out with those situations. So that's realistically, I'd say throughout the majority of the state, you're going to have a lot of these smaller departments that are just doing their own press releases. It's either the chief, the captain, the deputy chief. They're getting in front of the camera if and when it's needed, and just praying for the best there.
Chief Lally's now is going to tell us she's got six, one for each day, and they take off on Sundays because of her gigantic.
I don't know if I'm going to be part of the show anymore. I'll be honest with you.
Don't let him beat up on you.
Yeah. So and I'm going to recommend that Kirk get his own show. So he doesn't like going before or after people. So I think you should just do a podcast dedicated to Kirk, all about Kirk.
Yeah.
So yes, I don't have six PIOs. I do have a PIO. It's a sergeant that fulfills that role. He works in the administrative offices. and the way it works is he's basically in charge of the day-to-day. So our social media, if we get media requests, they call the PIO line, he's handling all that. Now, there may be times where they need, he's working with the commanders, he might work with the deputy chief, and in some rare instances, if it reaches the level of the chief, I may say, I'll take care of that phone call or I'm going to do the interview. But most of it is, and empowering. I think that's the other thing is, if you've never been a PIO, I was a PIO when I was a commander, the commanders used to take that role and we would take 3 months at a time. Uh-huh. And we would take it and bye, AJ. And then we would take the role. And, you would just be like, oh, I hope for 3 months nothing happens. And that never happened for me. I was like, every 3 months. And so finally, I was telling the chief one day at the time, like, you should just not make me the PIO because everything always happens when I'm the PIO. He's like, no, that's not going to happen. I'm like, okay. But looking back, it was a great experience. So if we make sure our sergeants and the command staff that they get that experience, because it's not easy when you're put on the spot and somebody's asking you something and you have to be, but the more you do it, the more you become comfortable with it. So my sergeant does a great job. The other thing too, I will tell you is whoever, a lot of times we used to have a PIO that was not a sworn member. So it was she was actually in charge of our community, part of our community outreach group. And then I had another non-sworn, but I will tell you, and they did a great job, but the sworn officer, the benefit that we do get from it, especially his background, he was an investigator. So he understands, the investigative side. And so sometimes you'll get this, how much information should you put out? Your detectives don't want a lot out, but you have to find that balance. So he does a really good job with that. He was a detective, so he can talk with the detectives and say, hey, we need to put something out. What are you comfortable with? And I empower him to do that. So, and then the other thing, he's obviously always on call. So if we have something really bad happen in the middle of the night, he gets a call. He's on social media. It's a requirement of the job. I mean, generally it's a Monday through Friday hours and weekends off, but he knows at any point, if it's all hands on deck, that he needs to be here. And then again, depending on the level, the command staff comes in. So, but definitely the right person, the right temperament, because if you get some comments on social media, you don't want your PIO going on there and, arguing with the public or defending. So a lot of times, we're a police department, we're public, people have the right to their opinion. And sometimes you have to just take those opinions and say thank you and keep it moving.
Yeah.
And thank you for that explanation. I just want to, as we wind down the segment, see something, say something. Something just happened yesterday. Okay, we're recording this. I think the 21st of March. In December of 2021, right around Christmas time, as our good friend Jim Krieger, who was the chief at the time of the Oak Brook Police Department, was sitting down to have dinner with his wife, he gets a call about a shooting at Oak Brook Shopping Mall. Like a day or two before Christmas, when if anybody's been to Oak Brook Shopping Mall, it's a zoo. Okay, it's a gigantic mall, lots of stores, just cobwebs of stores laid out all over the place. Two people, you know, were involved in the shooting. A number of different innocent bystanders were involved in it. Stores were shot up, bullets flying, broken glass. And there was a gentleman, you know, one of the people involved was arrested and released on home monitoring, just killed yesterday in a drive-by shooting in an alley on the southeast side of Chicago. Chief Byrd, is that?
Yeah.
I read something, a blurb came on, and you know that's an instant where it covers two different topics. One, you're out Christmas shopping the day or two before, and all of a sudden shots fired, everybody's running, and you've got 20 to 40 police cars there because you know you're pulling out all stops. Everybody from the surrounding area is converging with fire and an ambulance. It's just a madhouse there. And I turn on the TV and there's my buddy, Jimmy, Chief Kruger, who I got to know because I did his loan a while back. What's that like when something like that happens? One, and what goes through your mind that the individual who was arrested and is out on home confinement is still out in home confinement and hasn't been sentenced yet, almost 3 years after the fact? What goes through your minds as chiefs? And again, I'm not trying to make this political. It's just, you know, 22, 23. It's 2.5 years since the incident. Individuals accused of the shooting is still waiting for sentencing. I'll start in DeKalb and just go around. And again, this isn't a political thing. It just shocked me that this individual was killed and he's not in jail. So, Chief Byrd?
Yeah, so I guess a couple of ways to slice this thing, Dave. You know, of course, the event itself, horrific.
Scary.
Very horrific. As a chief, when you get that first call, you're like, but your first thought is like, it's the mall. You know how many people can be impacted, man. Your mind is like, how big is this going to be? You hope and pray that, you know, this is, you know, limited casualties. And you hope for it was zero. If you can get through unscathed, man, it's the best scenario you could think of. And we've had that where a shot's been fired and no one been hit. You know, and there are a lot of opportunities like that, like you said. You know, and this is where it comes in when we start talking about civilians, you know, when they see something, say something, being alert, being vigilant all the time. I think I mentioned to you earlier in one of our earlier podcasts, Dave, how I used to do recon when I would go to my mom's house, you know, when I had my kids, you know, because they would immediately want to jump out the car and run in the house to grandma's. I'm like, wait a minute. Now, we don't do that. You know, we don't do that. We have to. You know, you have to watch the car, who's in front of you, the car that's behind you when you park. Are there people in those cars? I mean, you know, you don't know what the overall, you know, agenda. I mean, they could just be having a conversation. You just don't know that. So you have to. These are the times that we live in, especially in the city of Chicago. Every city's not like that. I get it. But my hometown is like that. And I understand that. And we had to take precautions just to walk into the house. I remember like I told you, my mom would be sitting in the window with her phone, watching us get out of the car, you know, and that's how we had to do it. It was just the way it is. You just have to follow the plan, whatever your plan is. So, you know, I always worry sometimes people are just totally oblivious about their surroundings sometimes, you know, they got their heads down in their phone. You know, no one's really watching their surroundings. You know, things get really crazy. So a situation like that, as chaotic as it is, you know, of course, you're trying to make, you know, I can imagine, you know, everyone in that mall where, hey, let's get down. Let's find safety. Let's find some, you know, some cover so we're not struck by gunfire, you know. And then in the same breath, you have some people who are trying to be impactful. Of course, some citizens say, hey, how can I help? A lot of ways, a situation like that, probably not going to be able to help. Now, sometimes you will have the concealed carry situation where they actually, you know, might engage these people. Now, like me, I don't, at the end of the day, a lot of times the reason why a lot of these active shooter situations happened is because you didn't have a good guy there to stop the threat. And a good guy is not always going to be in uniform. And I know that to be true. So if you have someone who has a concealed carry and they engage this up, it's their decision. They have to make it and decide if they want to engage this or not. I mean, this is a life-threatening situation for them, 100%. So I know sometimes you will see that. We've seen that occur where a person who has a concealed carry, law-abiding citizen, is involved in a life-threatening situation like this where use of force, deadly force is required, and they engage them. I mean, it's a choice they make. We can't make that for them. So so you will see that occur. One of the things that you spoke about this gentleman still being on home monitoring, still out walking the streets, whatever. And in this situation, somebody was after him. They found him. End of story, right? That happens. I mean, nothing we can do about that. That's the life he chose to live, and it's evident that it caught up with him at this time. So I don't want anybody to lose their lives, Dave. No matter what their, overall personality is or who they are as a person, this guy was probably, seems like he was a career criminal. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know his criminal history, but he was definitely a criminal that night in Oak Brook. But what I will say, it is frustrating for law enforcement to see this occur, to see that we have offenders who have been involved in some real serious situations, still walking the streets every day. A lot of times our officers engage the same guy every day. We make arrests on Monday, we go at it again with them on Wednesday. You know, it's just the way it is. It sucks. I'll be 100% honest with you. It sucks. And I feel bad for not just, the citizens of our cities to have to kind of worry about that, but even law enforcement. It's like you're doing work over and over again, same job over and over again, So you get frustrated. I mean, if you're a human being, you're going to be frustrated. And we don't have to act like that we're not. Some people, I have officers get upset. I try to tell them all the time, hey, just, the system will take care of it. We got to trust the justice system to do their job and to let it happen, despite how frustrating it might be for us to make an arrest. I'm not going to lie to you and say it's not frustrating. It'll be disingenuous of me to say that, because that's totally not how I feel. I feel like I am frustrated by a lot of it. However, I still know that I took an oath to do this job, and that oversees all that.
I hear you. So
it's accountability, Dave. That's right. All it is. Right. We're holding people accountable for their actions. I tell people, when I go to a lot of my meetings, we go to board meetings here, community meetings here. All I ask, just be a law-abiding citizen. That's all I ask. That's it. If you're a law-abiding citizen, you won't have any problem from the DeKalb Police Department. I promise you. I was like, you just have to be that. And but if you're going to commit a crime, then yes, we're going to be front and center in your face every day. I tell people, I've said this openly. I don't have no problem sharing it. I was like, no one touches this uniform. No one. No one but the dry cleaner. Anybody else, then we got problems. I mean, it's the truth. And I'm just going to be honest about it. And I've said this over and over again. We have to protect the people that protect us. And that is law enforcement. So we have to protect them. We have to support them.
I would say, just in terms, I think your question is like, when something like that happens, I think it's a couple things. First, it's initial response, right? That's where the training of your officers comes in. Do you train your officers on active shooter response? Do you train your officers on unified command? Do you train your officers on, all these principles about what to do? Secondly, do you provide some training for your community? So we have in the past done ALICE training for community members. So ALICE training is a community. It's a way for basically community members to respond during an active or violent encounter. So ALICE, the premise of it is alert, lockdown, inform, counter, and then evacuate. So you teach the community, if you're ever in this situation, do these things. So, one, it's the initial response. Two, you want to make sure, your community, you're trying to do all the stuff before something happens. And then when it's happening, are you pushing out information to the community? Are you being sensitive to the investigation? And then there's the aftercare after the incident, a day later or 2 days later. Have you checked in with your officers? Have you provided them support? Have you checked in with the community? How's the investigative process going? So that's that. I think it's, you know, again, training, educating the community. When we have people come into our Citizens Police Academy, we talk about these things. And then we talk about what our response will be and why we're doing the things we're doing. To your second part of the question, you know, the police are one part of the criminal justice system, right? So you have the police, you have the courts, you have corrections. And, you know, the things that do happen within that system, each one of us, although we may not have influence on one part or one decision, we all impact each other. And so when, you know, the courts decide to release someone, the judge decides to release someone, I've been asked that many times. You know, we post something on our social media and, you know, it's a gun arrest, a UUW, something pretty significant. And, you know, they're given pretrial release. And so, you know, we'll have people in the community that will say, why is this and why that, you know, and, you know, my response to that is that we are one part of this system. That decision is not made by me. The decisions that will be from the Elgin Police Department are that we're professionals who will advocate to ensure that people have a sense of justice and closure. And so it's frustrating and can be very frustrating to Chief Bird's point. And on the flip side of that, too, is that frustration is felt by community members. So the best that we can do is to step up to the plate and be professionals and say, we're going to be your advocate. We're going to make sure we do the best case possible. We exhaust all investigative means. We make an arrest, right? So, because that's what we can control.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's important that it's, you know, I do the same thing that Chief Bird talks about, the frustrations that the officers feel. It's here, too. And we've had great conversations with them. And, you know, we keep it, you know, I keep it very positive and optimistic, which is your part. You know, knock your part out of the ballpark, which means be the best detective, the best officer, make the best case, right? Like where it will never fall back on us that we didn't do enough. We could have done this, right? Be the best advocate. So it's hard, you know, it's takes a little bit, you know, some people are still, you know, they're not happy with it, but, you know, I think it's on us as police chiefs to, you know, acknowledge the frustration, to, you know, be very truthful about that, but then to also say, all right, this is what we're working with now. So no matter what you throw at us, you're going to get professional, dedicated police officers that no matter what challenge comes our way, we got it. And I think that's a mindset, right? That's a mindset that you walk in every day with. It doesn't mean you're not frustrated or aggravated or thinking, what, you know, I won't say, you know, this is a family friendly show, but, you know, but you got to say, but we, you know what? Doesn't matter. Whatever you come, whatever, we got it. And you're going to be proud of this department and you're going to be proud of the officers because, you know, we're going to take care of you. And part of that is how we present ourselves and how we respond to challenges and adversity. So, yeah, so that's my short answer.
Yeah. Once again, she just trumps everything. All right. Here it is. No, I'm going to expand a little bit on that and just say that, yeah, she's right on. The officers need to know that what they're doing matters and they don't have any control of what happens after that arrest. And I think our criminal justice system in the United States and in Illinois is the greatest in the world. You know, it may not be perfect, but I think it works to a certain extent. And we're always working to make it better. Sometimes we take a step back, but then we'll take a couple steps forward, you know, in my mind. But I remind them that the wheels of justice turn slowly, but they do turn. And as long as we are focusing on what is important and what we can do and what makes an impact for our community and our citizens, then we're going to do everything we can. Just like Chief Lally said, what we do matters and we have to focus on that. And we can be frustrated and be open about the frustration, but we have to realize that sometimes some things are beyond our realm. They're beyond our control. And we want to control the things that we can control and move forward there and work to make our community as good as we can.
Well, thank you all three. AJ had to jump off for another meeting. I see the picture of Abe Lincoln behind you, Chief Brueggemann. There's a great show on Apple TV right now, Manhunt.
I want to watch it.
Phenomenal. The first two, I see honestly behind your left shoulder, the first two episodes, I'm a history guy, are flipping great. So
three Abraham Lincoln pictures in my office right now.
Well, there you go. Well,
hey,
well,
and if I can comment real quick about my first PIO experience, is real quick. As a sergeant, my first PIO experience, first on-camera interview, was talking about Pokemon Go.
Oh, so, God.
Of all the things to talk about law enforcement, I was a sergeant. Pokemon Go was out. Walking through subdivisions, walking through yards, in my cars. And that was my first on-air to talk with the local news station, St. Louis News Station, about safety tips for people playing Pokemon Go. So
he's like, this PIO thing is so easy. I don't know what
I know. You don't have to deal with shootings or anything like that.
Yeah.
And now you're chief of police of O'Fallon. So there. Exactly. See, all you PIO officers, your future is very, very bright out there. So I wanted to thank Chief Brueggemann, Chief Lally, Chief Byrd, AJ that dropped off for another amazing episode, outstanding episode of Behind the Badge Illinois. If you're looking, again, looking to sponsor the show, interested in sponsoring the show, give me a call. We're always interested in taking on new sponsors so we could use those funds to pump it out and promote it even more on social media. And in closing, if you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance your existing home, I'm the guy funding this. I'd love to have the opportunity to work with you and your teams. Closing cost credits for all first responders and veterans out there. This has been another episode of Behind the Badge Illinois. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next episode. Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.